Christian, greetings to each of you again this morning. In the name of Jesus, the one who we are here to worship, the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who has redeemed us and set us free through his blood on the cross. And he's the one this morning whom we are worshiping, and we believe he's in our midst, and he's here. And we're thankful this morning for his presence. He's watching down, he's looking down on our service. There's also other observers of this service. On the one hand, we have Jesus. And the other hand, we have a spider that's been sitting there this morning observing this service. He hasn't moved. He's there. And I don't know what he's thinking. But a lot of people don't like spiders. And this spider hasn't moved, and so we'll trust he'll stay there. But I like to think this morning that that spider is representative of Satan and the works of darkness and the kingdom of darkness. And this morning, the seriousness of meeting before a holy God is that the powers of darkness, the interest of the enemy of your soul is here in this service. And it's looking down, and he's trying to distract. He's trying to destroy what Christ wants to do in our hearts and lives. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians is one of my favorite books. Chapter 1 is such a wonderful passage of Scripture. And I like to read most of this chapter. And as we read this chapter, I want us to think about the work of Christ and what Christ has done for us. And this chapter contrasts the work of Christ with the kingdom of Christ, and it contrasts that with the kingdom of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I like to go back to verses 12 and 13. This is the text this morning. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we're pulling this text out of a sentence, the middle of a sentence. And did you think about this long sentence that we have? It goes from, I believe, beginning of verse 9 all the way over to the end of verse 18. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of light, and hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now there's some very, very precious thoughts and precious truths in these verses. He says, backing up to verse 7 and 8, he talks about Epaphras, who apparently was a minister, a pastor at the church at Colossae, and he had told Paul and his group, he had written to Paul apparently about the faith there at Colossae. And Paul's writing to them, and he's saying that he's confirming Epaphras as a faithful minister, who hath declared unto us your love in the Spirit. There are a lot of things that we get excited about in church life, and it might be our mission work, and it might be faithfulness, and it might be family life, and it might be the children that are born among us, and it might be the school students started school this past week. The first graders go with their eagerness. And there are lots of good things about church life that we focus our attention on, we think about. It might be the unity in a congregation. It might be the working together. It might be how we can reach out. And he says here that Epaphras told me about your love in the Spirit. And that, I guess, would be a whole other subject to focus on. But what did he see at the church at Colossae? What were these people like? He's declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And Paul, as an overseer, Paul, as one who had been there and preached the gospel, that was exciting to him. And he said, "We have not ceased to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." This morning, being a part of this kingdom of light and delivered from the power of darkness, we are part of that kingdom, and we are immersed in this kingdom, and we are serving this kingdom as we understand God and as we know more about him and as we understand Christ and we learn to know him better, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We say sometimes, and we tell people that, and we maybe emphasize this to young people who are searching to understand and know the will of God for their life. And we say that there's no greater place to be than in the will of God. And he says that here. He says that for all of us this morning, where are we? Are we in the will of God? Are we under his blessing and his protection and his love and his we're going to notice later on in the message the verse where it talks about the armor of light. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We don't ever get done knowing more about God. We cannot be too full of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be too much like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a growth in our Christian walk, and it's a goal that we have. It's an aspiration that we have to know more and more about Christ, to know more and more about the Word, and to be more and more like Jesus. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Now notice this, which hath made us meet to be partakers. Back in Genesis chapter 2, when God chose Eve, and he said that it's not good that man should be alone, but he needs a helpmeet. He needed someone that was a suitable helpmeet for him. This word meet is just a little bit of a different word. And this word means a means to enable or qualify. And so he hath made us meet to be partakers. Because of the work of Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, we today are, God has made it possible. God has made it possible that we can be enabled, or that we can be qualified to be partakers with the Lord Jesus, and to be a part of his family, and we can be part of that redeemed. Brother Iyer mentioned a tremendous point and tremendous truth, that we are redeemed, ransomed captives. I guess that was a term in the word, in the song. Ransomed captives. And we are redeemed. We are set free, but we're set free to serve the Lord. And we are his servants. We are under his jurisdiction and direction. And God has made it so that this is possible. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, this word translate means to transfer, but it has I thought about this, that in this word transfer, that sometimes within a corporation, maybe, an employee is transferred from one location to another, but he maintains a similar position oftentimes from one location to the next. Within our churches, when members want to move from one place to another and their membership is transferred, there's really not a lot that changes, okay? It's transferred from one like similar congregation to another similar congregation. This word, it means to transfer, but it carries with it the thought of going from one side to another. And this is a transfer of a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of turmoil, a kingdom of enslavement to a world and to a life that has no meaning. And we're transferred to a kingdom of light, a kingdom of fulfillment, a kingdom of meaning, a kingdom where there is fruit that goes forth from our life that can benefit the lives of others. And so we're transferred from a place in the kingdom of darkness to a place in the kingdom of his dear son, or the kingdom of light. He refers to that here in verse 12, the inheritance of the saints in light. And it's a kingdom of light. It's the kingdom of his dear son. Jesus is the light of the world. And it's this contrast of the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. The world today is seemingly full of darkness. And it seems like the world in which we live is so full of evil, so full of corruption. It's full of hate. We'll look at that a little later on. If you're doing any amount of staying up in the news the last week, in the last several days, in the last 24 hours, tensions among the world leaders is really, really being heightened. Because North Korea is really vexing its muscles. I'll just tell you this morning, as I saw their successful test of a hydrogen bomb, you know, there's some fear that came into my heart. But brethren and sisters, let's not reach out to the kingdom of this darkness and the kingdom of this world for security and for an answer to that. It's the kingdom of light wherewith we find and wherein we find peace and rest, no matter what happens in the kingdom of darkness. And the world today is seemingly full of darkness. There are a lot of good things that happen in this world. There are a lot of good things. There are a lot of encouraging things about this country. There can be a disaster down in Texas, a tremendous disaster that's beyond our comprehension. And the way this country rallies together to provide support is phenomenal. But amidst of this, there is so much darkness, and there is so much unrest, and there is so much just no fulfillment in this world of darkness. And so the world today needs truth. The world today needs light. The world today needs believers. It needs those of us who are letting our light shine for Christ to shine into this dark and sinful world. And in contrast to the evil today, it seems like there is so little light. But let's keep shining. Let's keep letting this light shine in this dark and sinful world. And this text also confirms the two kingdoms that prevail. Let's consider this kingdom of darkness just a little bit. First of all, the kingdom of darkness is the opposite of light and truth. It's a very simple fact. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 23, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Luke 11 and verse 34, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Luke 11, or the next verse says, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And he's warning, he's telling us that it's possible for us that the light that is within us, and that may be the light that everyone is created with. We are all born with a certain amount of light in our heart, a sense of right and wrong. We are not created into this world so depraved that we can't even reach out to light, and we don't even know what light consists of. Every man is born with that light. But he's saying here that take heed, be careful that the light that is in thee, you don't allow darkness to overtake that light, or let that light be squelched by the darkness. And so this morning we are either on one side or the other. This kingdom of darkness is a kingdom that is opposite of light and truth. There is no crossover. There is no comparison between the two. It is two different kingdoms, and they are vastly different. As it relates to walking in light versus walking in darkness, there is no twilight, we could say. It's a clear, they're opposite kingdoms. There is no gray area with God. Either we have allowed the darkness of this world to blind our eyes, or we're walking in light, we're pursuing light, and we are wanting to walk toward the light. You know, brethren and sisters, this morning we were all living in darkness. We were all a part of that kingdom. We were all serving ourselves. And outside of Christ, we are in the kingdom of darkness. And that is the hope of the kingdom of light, is that when we set our eyes toward the kingdom of light and away from the kingdom of this world, we can see clearly. It's there. We know where to go to find it. It's a kingdom of light. It's not a kingdom of twilight. It's not a kingdom of haziness. But it is a kingdom of the light of the Son of God. Secondly, as we think about the kingdom of darkness, it's a kingdom of power. And I'd like for us to just be reminded of that. Verse 13, he calls this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. It's a kingdom of power. This word power here means force. It means capacity. It means a magistrate, superhuman, potentate, token of control, delegated influence. He's talking here about a strength that needs to be reckoned with. And each of us this morning, to a certain degree, knows the personal experience. We know personally the power of darkness. We know what it's like to live in Romans chapter 6. We know what it's like even to live in Romans 7, where there is this wanting to do what's right, but this power that just we can't overcome it. It's this power, it's this control. It's this strength in our lives that must be overcome by the power of the kingdom of light. Men and women today are driven to continuing in sin because they're living under the power of darkness. And there are many people today who don't like it. They don't like where they're at, but they don't know how to get out from underneath it. They are living within a kingdom of control. Thirdly, it's an organized kingdom with rulers. And we could turn to Ephesians chapter 6. But it's a kingdom with influence and force. And it's a kingdom that we dare not brush off lightly. Every child of God must reckon with the fact and recognize the potential influence in his or her life. The kingdom of this world is a kingdom that is powerful. It's also a kingdom of hate. 1 John 2:11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. There is no true light outside of God. There's a lot of knowledge in this world today. There are many, many scientific inventions. There are many scientific discoveries. But in this world, there is no true light. The good things that come our way, the good things that happen are blessings from God. There is no true light outside of God. The world today promises love, but it's a false love. It's a love that overlooks sin and corruption. And it's a love that never brings fulfillment. It's just a love that is always seeking for satisfaction. And this kingdom of darkness is a kingdom that leads to death and hell. Let's look next at the kingdom of light. And notice here that he says that he identifies this as the kingdom of his dear son. Now, I want you to think about the word dear. Why does he say this? Why does he identify this as the kingdom of his dear son? As the dear son of God. Is there any meaning in that? Why didn't he just say it is the kingdom of light? But it's the kingdom of God's dear son. God is the sovereign of all earth, of all the earth. He's the sovereign of time and eternity. He's the sovereign of everything that ever existed and will exist. He's our creator. He is the one with whom we have to do, the one with whom we are accountable to. And this is the kingdom. This is the kingdom that we can be accepted into. It is the kingdom of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today in the powers that be, sometimes in realms of authority, when someone is looking for privileges, and it can happen even on a township level, someone is looking for an exception to whatever they would like to do. Maybe a building they'd like to put up, a driveway that they'd like to change, and maybe someone gets permission from their township to do something that was just kind of on the edge or over the edge, and people are saying, so how'd you ever get that pulled? Well, you got to know the right people. And that happens in government sometimes. Well, it's who you know. Well, listen, this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the dear Son of this sovereign of all time and eternity. And we can be a part of this kingdom because there's a relationship there. There are privileges there because of who you know, as it were. The kingdom of his dear Son. Let's look at this kingdom, just a few points in relation to it. Number one, it is a kingdom where there is openness and freedom. In John chapter 3, reading a few verses there, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or made manifest, or come to light or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This morning, when we are coming to the light, we are not endeavoring to hide things. The kingdom of light is a kingdom where we reckon with the fact, we admit to the fact, where we are coming before a God that we know that our lives are wrought in him. They are open to him. God understands it already. We are wrought in him. It's open before him. He understands us. He knows us. And we come to the understanding that our lives are open. And so the kingdom of his dear son is a kingdom of openness, and that brings freedom. That brings rest and freedom. John 8 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The epistle of John. In the epistle of John, he tells us that fear has torment. But perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, it's part of the kingdom of his dear son. And as brothers and sisters this morning, just a simple outworking of that is that we can worship together. We can work together in school life, in church life. We can be at peace among ourselves when we're open and free with each other. Secondly, in this kingdom, Jesus is the source of all light. Again, from John chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He shall have the light of life, and Jesus is the source of life. We had that here in verses 16 through 18 of Colossians chapter 1, and I'm not going to read this again. But Jesus is the source of light. God has ordained that in him, in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the source of life and light. Over in Colossians chapter 2, the next chapter in verses 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, for ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ is the answer for the needs of our life. Sometimes maybe we have sort of a warped concept of Jesus. You know, in church life, or in maybe I should say this, that in human life, in human experience, we all have our realms of responsibility, we have our realms of ability, and there's limits to that. And just thinking about structural organization in church life, we have our realms of responsibility. As leaders, we have our realm. You have a bishop, you have ministers and deacons, and then the laity, and within that, there's realms of responsibility. There's superintendents, there's trustees, and you can go down through the list. You have your audio personnel that are responsible for that. But we all have our limits in that responsibility. And sometimes we forget about that. Just because you are a minister in the church does not give me the right and the authority to go back and try to manage the audio room. I would mess it up. We have our limitations. And so we are programmed to think in that way. That everyone has his limitations, we have our spheres in which we operate, and there's where it stopped. But with the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus is not only he does not only provide salvation for our souls, and that's where it stops, and that's where his sphere ends, and then there's someone else to pick up to carry a Christian along. Jesus is the answer to everything. He is the answer to all of our life's needs. He provides salvation through the work on the cross, and because of that, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, and because of that indwelling presence of the divine nature, we can have strength and power. We can have wisdom and discretion as we go through life and as we make decisions. Jesus is the source of all light and life. And so he is the answer to every need. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thirdly, in this kingdom of his dear son, there is protection when we walk in light. And we have this verse in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, and I'm not going to turn there. But he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And it implies that there are things that we are able to choose to do in putting on this armor of light. It is an armor. It is a protection. Being immersed in the light of the gospel and being immersed in the knowledge of Jesus is an armor to us. The armor of light. Fourthly, there's fellowship in this kingdom. 1 John 1 and verse 5, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And he's broadening that out beyond just fellowship with Christ and the believer. But we have fellowship one with another, with each other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so we have fellowship because we have the same spiritual goals. We have the same spiritual vision. Our spiritual interests are our highest commitment in life. And last of all, as we think about this kingdom of light, this armor of light, and immersing ourselves in this kingdom of light, light is revealed through the word of God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 9, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And it really doesn't matter this morning how we would like to interpret this thought about prophecy, okay? He says here that what we read in the scriptures is as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And we need that light. We need that light that's shining out there in the darkness that's ahead of us, because the way is unknown. Psalm 119 and verse 5, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This morning, how can we be translated? Matthew 4 and verse 16, when it speaks about Jesus, and I guess this is John the Baptist that's talking here, and he says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, a light is sprung up. Jesus came as a light to lighten the Gentiles and the nation of Israel. A light is sprung up. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Ah, brethren and sisters, this morning we were in that shadow of death. And we were in that darkness. How can we be translated from the shadow of death? But Jesus came to guide our feet into the way of peace. He says there in Luke 1 and verse 79. It's through Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so we're translated from darkness and the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light through salvation. Through repentance, through forgiveness, through redemption, through justification, through sanctification. In closing, I'd like to look at just a few expressions of this walking in light. As we live and as we serve in this kingdom of light. Number one, it's a walk in knowledge and wisdom. And we have that in verses 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And what I see there, that we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, He's saying that we need to understand what the will of God is for our lives. And we need to understand what it means to be accepted of God and walk in His ways, walking in knowledge and wisdom. Just a couple verses. You don't need to turn to these, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And brethren and sisters, this morning, it's not of us. It's not of ourselves. We are in earthen vessels. And we have the treasure this morning, the treasure of this light of the gospel in this earthen vessel. Walk in knowledge and wisdom. Light brings knowledge. Light brings wisdom to our lives and to our hearts. And as we expose ourselves to spiritual light and eternal light, there is eternal vision. Now, this morning, we understand and we know that none of us here in this life, I guess we could say, is perfect light. We are always striving and seeking to be more like Christ. We are striving and seeking to understand the light more clearly and more fully. We are seeking for a greater knowledge, walking in knowledge and wisdom. And so we need to continue to expose ourselves to spiritual light and this eternal light that brings eternal vision. Secondly, we need to walk worthy of the Lord. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says this: As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So walk ye in him. Over in chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Walking worthy. Walking worthy. Another expression of this walk of light is a fruitful life. And we have this, I commented on this already, and you probably noticed this thought in chapter 1 and verse 6 and also in verse 10. He talks about this fruit that came forth from their lives. Fruit. This time of the year, we enjoy fruit, don't we? We've got some peaches on our counter, in the kitchen counter, and they're beautiful. They're large, they're just beautiful. I want to set my teeth in them. But Esther told us that she got them for tomorrow night. And so we can eat them. It's fruit, it's beautiful. It's satisfying fruit. So there's peaches and apples and plums and all those wonderful things, wonderful fruit that we enjoy this time of the year. But God is looking for fruit. He is looking for fruit in our lives. He's looking to us to bring forth fruit. Colossians chapter 3, we could look at these verses in that chapter where he says that we need to put on. We need to put on. Fourthly, walking in this kingdom of light is we are empowered for victory. And verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. We are empowered for victory. And last of all, it is a walk of thankfulness. And we have that in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. It's part of this fruit that comes forth from walking in this kingdom of light, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of light. We could look at the verses in Corinthians where we are able ministers of the New Testament. In chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's a walk of thankfulness. In closing, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, or a special people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And in chapter 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so this morning, it's because of this kingdom of light, because of the fact that we can be accepted into the kingdom of light, that we can have the promise of being a part, partaking of this tree of life, and we can enter into the eternal city through those gates. May God bless each one of us as we long to be more like him, as we continue to immerse ourselves in light. May God help us to decipher and have understanding, a better understanding of the things of darkness and the things that hinder the light in our lives. We need to make those decisions personally throughout our day. We can collectively make decisions, we can give warnings, we can give guidelines, but you know, finally, every one of us is called to make those decisions in our personal lives each day, sorting through the darkness and the things that distract, and choosing to put on the things that bring us closer in the realms of light. May God bless us. Let's kneel for prayer.